Well, the pressure's on. And
I love it when Dina's here because we're the amazing travel guys.
Amazing. Well, Dina's, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, at least she's correct in her assessment.
Here I go. There you go. I'm going to be amazing. Are you ready?
All right.
Here it comes. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a Harvard professor's study hints that at Airbnb's listing have a racial bias. Plus, we have word on mom escapes and a global scavenger hunt.
Say, have you been wondering what to get the traveler on your gift list? John Holloway's here at 320 to tell us what shoppers are asking for at his Travel Outfitters store.
Are you one of those travelers who plays the hotel points games? That would be me.
Yeah, Mark is raising his hand.
Yeah, we have Nick Ewan, who writes for the Points Guy blog, and he has a report on which hotel frequent guest program is best. Nick is here at 335.
Finally, at 3:55, Mark has saved the best for last and gives you five rules for traveling with your kids during the holidays.
Yeah, leave them at home.
Yeah,
and then four others. A rainy Sunday has turned into when I wrote this a couple hours, it was a really nice day, but it's turned into kind of a day. But we thank you for sharing an hour of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Bye.
Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man,
king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It is another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. And we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. How you be?
I be pretty good. How be you? We both went away to Las Vegas over the last
To Vegas at the same place at different times.
Yeah, together.
Probably for different reasons, I would guess, too.
Yeah, probably pretty much. I went to Las Vegas for a coin show and to check out a Hofbräu for potential group meals, and also a tea making place, which turned out to be kind of a wild goose chase, but nonetheless.
There you go.
I was in Riverside too. We're taking some folks down to Riverside for Christmas. The Mission Inn is down there. We do a little Route 66 thing and some gift shopping and some fun things down there for Christmas. So you went to Las Vegas and to Disneyland.
We did. This was really a whirlwind. Every time I told someone what we were going to do, their eyes got really big and wide because I went to two of the most popular places folks from Sacramento go.
Mm-hmm.
One is Vegas, known as Sin City, and partied, saw La Rev, incredible show there at the Wynn, and then off to the Magic Kingdom for 3 days. So it was a back-to-back, almost a cultural shift, if you will, from Vegas, which is not really necessarily family oriented, you know.
Well, did you have a good time, except for the fact that your wife hit a rut and ended up on the sidelines?
Yeah, we did. My wife, I don't know. I guess she had a gastronomical attack.
Uh-huh.
Her stomach began to
hate
her.
She ate something that didn't agree with her.
You know, I think it was the corn dog followed by Big Thunder Mountain. You know, I remember when we went to urgent care and we told them what we had done. The doctor goes, "Well, it's supposed to go like this, Mrs. Romano. You do Big Thunder Mountain, and then you have the corn dog." So anyway, it's not funny. She was not well at all.
No, no. You sounded when you were called and were rearranging your logistics.
I had to cancel a flight and I had to rebook and we had to find a taxi to urgent care. Fortunately, everything turned out quite nicely. And I have to say that, you know, one of the advantages of traveling with Southwest is the ability to cancel a flight at the last minute, not be charged anything extra, be able to park the dollars that you paid for that, and literally within hours, if you choose, or within a year, be able to call up, book your flight with no only charge would be whatever the difference of the flights might be. In some cases, it might even cost you less. But
it's a
no
pretty
penalties.
Simple system, and it has
really
a lot
is.
To say for it, especially the Southwest system has a lot to say for it, especially when the going gets tough.
Yes.
Because when the going gets tough, the other guys leave the room. And Southwest rules are a lot more user-friendly than the rest of them. All right, well, we got to get going on the news because I got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and John Holloway is going to call us at some point.
All right.
All right. The travel guy's news. There's usually a big build up there or something.
Yeah, bring that music up. Bring the music up with the music. We don't know the travel news is on unless you can hear the music. All right, Mark Hoffman with the normal travel guy's news at this time.
All right, listen up here. United Airlines has followed Delta and American with what they call bear fares.
Bear fares.
Bear fares. Has nothing to do with the zoo.
And it
or
doesn't
animals.
Have anything of going on the flight bare.
No, it has nothing to do with being naked. It has to do with
discounts
with a discount fare. Well, yes, kind of, sort of. United, Delta, and American are competing with Spirit, Frontier, and Allegiant. Now, if you fly from Sacramento and you say, gee, I've never heard of Spirit, Frontier, or Allegiant. Well, Frontier used to be here. Spirit and Allegiant have never been here. Hopefully will never be here. Frontier is gone now. These are airlines that sell really dirt cheap fares with nothing attached. No carry-on bag in most cases, no luggage, no seat assignment, no anything. You park in the furthest lot from the gate. You know, I mean, it's nothing. It's a bare fare.
It's the a la carte.
It's the cheapest way to fly if you do not have, you don't care about sitting in a middle seat in the back of the plane and you're not bringing anything with you.
It'd be the a la carte, but I only want the salad.
Exactly. And so now the other carriers are matching up with these guys. And so you have to be careful now when you go and you start shopping for fares, because you may run into and say, well, gee, this is $30 less. I'll take this. But then you find out that you can't reserve any seats ahead of time. You have to pay for baggage. At the end of the day, you're paying more for the ticket than you would have paid for it if you'd just bought what we called a bundled fare, which included some of those extras that current fares include. So be careful as these are rolled out on the websites and stuff, because it be very, very careful as to what you buy, because you could very easily end up buying something that you thought was a terrific deal, but at the end of the day didn't end up to be quite so terrific. We'll do a show when United and Delta and these guys have all got the fares loaded and they're ready to go on them. We'll do a show and we'll walk people through it and kind of try to show them on the radio how not to get caught on that.
Very good.
Southwest Airlines has added technology for dual class service and assigned seats to their computer programming. Their CEO, Mr. Kelly, says not to fear. They have no plans to do anything like that anytime soon. But what was the person who said that if you see a gun in the first act, by the third act, it'll be used on somebody in a play? So here's there's the gun. So we'll see how long it lasts. New idea in San Francisco. There is a company that began service there. You can go on your app and you can tell them that I want a meal from this restaurant and I want to pick it up at this particular participating restaurant at this time. And when you get there, it'll be ready for you. There's a little bit of a service charge for that service, but you can do it in San Francisco. And now they're starting up at Logan in Boston and at John Kennedy Airport in New York City.
On a side note, and I'll investigate this, and we might want to have them on the air. There is actually a service here in Sacramento where you pick a meal from a website, which will come from a specific restaurant within your neighborhood, and they will deliver it to you in 15 minutes.
I'm a little suspicious of a lot of these delivery services, because that is a very labor-intensive and cost-intensive operation, and nobody seems to have really mastered that yet from being able to stay in business with those extra costs, and as a consumer, am I willing to pay that extra freight to get the convenience of something delivered to me? If I'm a person who doesn't care what it costs, probably yes. If I'm a person on any kind of a budget, perhaps no. Here's an interesting news item. A cross-border airport, there is a new California terminal that extends into Mexico now. You pay $18 to walk a 350-foot overpass to Tijuana International Airport in Mexico, which is a springboard to 30 Mexican destinations from San Diego. Is this not cool or what?
Very cool.
They have created a terminal near the border, near the Tijuana Airport. Originally, that airport was built. It was built to be a binational airport many, many, many years ago. That has never turned out. There was going to be a runway on each side of the border. That's never turned out to come to fruition, but now a private company has built a terminal. They're going to charge you $18. You're going to get security on the U.S. side. You're going to walk over to the Mexican side. You're going to be pre-cleared and be inside a sterile area at the Tijuana airport. It's the only place in the world where this exists. And you say, well, why would someone do that? Well, if you lived in Southern California, especially in the San Diego area, and you needed to go to a Mexican destination, a secondary destination, the Tijuana airport would serve all those destinations and the San Diego airport would not. Also, the walking over the border in Mexico or coming over in a car in San Diego, that is a very uncertain thing. When you're coming back from Mexico, it can take anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 or 4 hours. So this way, if you're coming from Tijuana into San Diego, you land at Tijuana Airport, you can walk over this bridge for $18. You're in San Diego, and you still have to go through the same security clearances, but it's a lot faster.
Awesome.
So I think that's a pretty cool idea. The National Park Service has announced that there will be 16 fee-free days in 2016 to celebrate their 100th birthday. 16 fee-free days.
Awesome. Say that. They've in the past have had one particular day that all the parks were free.
But they have.
To celebrate the 100th, you say?
There will be, that's correct. They're going to extend a waiver of their traditional one day, making it through a weekend, and there will also be no charge to Indian National Park on April 16th and 24th. There's a whole list of days, and the National Park Service is still working on that, so we'll post it on our website when they're done. Excuse me. A Harvard professor has done an experiment and suggests that Airbnb has a bias towards African Americans. This is really pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He did a study. He created 20 fake Airbnb profiles, 10 names stereotypically white, 10 names stereotypically African American. Each race was divided into 5 males and 5 females.
Now, are these people that he made up, are these the ones that are going to be using the Airbnb?
Well, this is just a study, so these aren't actual people.
Right, but from the standpoint of the of the study,
these are people who would be using it.
Okay.
He sent it out to 6,400 lodging queries to Airbnb hosts in Baltimore, Dallas, Los Angeles, St. Louis, and Washington. So other than the fact he left out a northern tier city, I'd say he's pretty regionally, he's fairly spread out. They found that white guests received 50% positive responses to their queries, while African-American guests got just 42%. The authors say that such bias isn't good for business because discrimination is costly for hosts who indulge in it, because hosts who reject African-American guests are able to find a replacement guest only 35% of the time. So if you get too picky with your guests, you may find yourself with an empty room. This gentleman who did the survey co-wrote a paper alleging that African-American hosts charge 12% less for their listings than non-black hosts because they have a more difficult time getting guests. Airbnb does have an anti-discrimination policy on its website, but this gentleman is asserting that Airbnb should anonymize the profiles like some other websites do so that people wouldn't be able to. I don't use Airbnb, so I have no idea. I just thought it was kind of a fascinating news item. Here's another interesting news item across the spectrum: Momescapes. This apparently is a new category of travel that's becoming quite popular.
Momescapes. Oh, boy. They can use those.
62% of moms take at least one mom escape vacation without their family a year. 67% believe that traveling more often makes them happier than getting a promotion.
Sure. Yeah.
55% of moms got more intimate with their partner while on an escape trip.
So they didn't escape alone, clearly.
In some cases. 57% of moms said they like to do something crazy while on vacation. Some of the fun activities mom mentioned include staying out all night, 47%, skinny dipping, 27%, and looking for a vacation, to your previous comment, fling, 17%. Well, now, and remember, not every mom is a married mom.
That's
true. You could be a single mom, so you would be on vacation and you wouldn't have a partner.
Of course.
More than a third of moms, 38% survey, did something on a trip they didn't tell their family about.
Interesting.
55% of moms reported that traveling without kids improves their parenting. 54% revealed that traveling is the best way to stay connected to their former selves. And solo travel has proved to be on the upswing, as 72% of moms feel more adventurous traveling alone compared to traveling with their family.
Fascinating. Great study.
And lastly, here's a global, I think that's pretty cool. And lastly, here's a global scavenger hunt. It takes 2 15-person teams in April and May are going to go around the globe across 10 countries on a global scavenger hunt. It costs $25,000 a team, which includes all your airfare, 23 nights in wonderful hotels, 40-plus meals, and great event-related travel goodie bags. If you are a person who is interested in the global scavenger hunt, go to travelguysradio.com and you will see it there.
Let's put together a team.
Yeah. I'll bring the team. You bring the 25,000.
It was 15 people, though.
Yeah, but 25,000. So I'll get the 15 people.
Grand,
you bring the money.
It's not even 2 grand
a piece.
Yeah. Right? Not even 2 grand a piece.
That's your travel news for today.
And we'll be back. Let's see. What do we get? John Holloway.
John Holloway.
Yeah. presents for the travelers on your shopping list next here on Travel Guys on KFBK. The Travel Guys on the radio here on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. I can't stop thinking about the scavenger hunt, international scavenger hunt. Mark, we've got to do this. I'll tell you what, I'll get 7 if you get 7, and we'll put together 15. And
I'll turn my microphone on. It makes it a lot easier for people to hear me.
Anyway.
Okay, here's some of the things you're going to do on this world scavenger hunt. You're going to learn how to make baklava in a famous local Istanbul bakery.
Yes.
You're going to learn meditation techniques from a yogi master in Kathmandu.
Got it.
Play taxicab roulette and eat at favorite family restaurants, family style restaurants of the drivers.
Okay.
Take in a camel to visit the lost city of Petra.
Sure.
Attend a midnight, midnight Orthodox Greek an Orthodox Easter Mass at a Greek cathedral.
Was that a 1 or 2 hump camel?
I don't have any idea. $25,000. It's 3 weeks long. I don't know how they're going to decide who gets to play They said there's only two teams. 23-day global travel challenge, $25,000 per team.
Okay.
You do it and then come back and tell me about it?
All right. Okay. Be listening. I'll be recruiting my team.
The show Beautiful is
through the other window there. He's on the team.
The show Beautiful is coming to San Francisco, the Broadway show Beautiful, which is the Carole King biography. If you like Jersey Boys, you'll love this show. It started in San Francisco a year and a half ago, went to Broadway, won a Tony for the gal who played Carole King on Broadway. It is a great, great show. If you're a sports leisure traveler, we're going to go about 84 times to see it. It comes in August and September. If you're not, make sure, if you love theater, go see Beautiful. Millennials don't want desks anymore. They're taking the desks out of hotel rooms at Marriott because millennials don't want desks. And United has a sale on Hawaii flights, $191 one way, which is a pretty good deal. That's from San Francisco, a little more from San Francisco, from Sacramento, Mondays through Thursdays. So United, there's a link to it at sportsleisure.com. John Holloway is on the phone. He probably thought he was going to sit there forever and we were never going to get to him.
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
I'll go on an international scavenger hunt with you.
Yeah, right. There's three.
I'm good at eating baklava.
You think Luis would probably be up for this?
Yeah, he was the first one to chime in.
Before you go on that international scavenger hunt, you got to come do a scavenger hunt at Travel Outfitters. Though.
Great.
John, tell us, what are travelers coming in and asking for at Travel Outfitters? What's hot this holiday season?
Well, you know what the biggest topic of conversation is what's a carry-on?
Really?
Yeah. They're talking about the size of the carry-on?
The size of a carry-on, and you know, this International Airline Trade Association came out with a general recommendation.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know how it was reported out there, but it was a recommendation and a proposal. And so a lot of folks have a lot of angst and anxiety about, you know, what's a carry-on? What am I going to get away with?
John, do us all a favor. Sell them all a carry-on that's an inch smaller than the right size, than the legal size on every angle, and then they'll be able to bring it on the plane, and it'll also fit.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the thing is, most of the time you can do a 22-inch, but you know, internationally, once in a while they'll have those little bit smaller bins that are about a 20-inch, and the proposal was a 20.5 by 13.5 by like 7 or something, and there's nobody in our luggage industry making that. So, it's kind of a contradiction. That's why people are so confused. Alaska's building bigger overhead space.
So if somebody wants a $20 gift for somebody, for a traveler at Christmas time, what are they buying in your store?
Well, they're buying packing aids. So they're going to get maybe a little smaller bag, and yet they want to organize the interior. The Eagle Creek packet cubes and sacks and folders have been a hit for about 20 years, and people just never seem to get enough of them because they organize the interior of their bag and organize their room when they get to their destination.
I don't know about you, Tom, but I have enough trouble just packing my suitcase, let alone organizing the inside of my bag.
Hey, ain't that the truth. John, what items are you having the hardest time keeping in stock?
Probably the underwear and socks.
I knew that. I knew that was going to be one of the answers.
It's going to come up because it's just a basic. And, you know, at Christmas time, it's sort of like buying PJs for the kids. You need them for travel. You need stuff that's not going to be the old cotton you know, holy stuff. That some people still like to take the holy ones, but this is a step up from that, and this will actually last you a long time.
People wear better underwear when they travel, says John Holloway of Holloway Travel Outfitters. So people are buying, they're buying things that will organize their suitcase. They're looking at somewhat inexpensive travel wear. They're talking about carry-on bags. What else, John? Yeah. What's the best deal right now at Holloway Travel Outfitters? We got about a minute.
Well, I'd say probably the Travel Smart all-in-one adapter and converter. And I think we have talked about that, but I can't talk about it enough because people are bringing so many appliances.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it, rather than buying four adapter plugs to get in the wall, they have one receiver, if you will. It'll accept three appliances plus a USB, which, you know, people are using for their tablets and phones and so on. So you can charge four things at once anywhere in the world and get surge protection at the same time.
All right, cheap, blatant plug here. How do folks find Holloway Travel Outfitters?
We're at 1508 Howe Avenue. We're south of Arden Way now. So folks are making that track. They're seeing our spot at the old spot and signing our, you know, we have move signs. So
don't go to Fulton Avenue.
Don't go to Fulton.
Holloway Travel Outfitters is on Howe Avenue now.
Across the street from Harold Ford.
Harold Ford.
Exactly.
I remember Harold.
And you're open, this is great, you're open 7 days a week, are you not?
We are. We're going to be open all the way to the 24th, right about 3 o'clock. That's when we're calling it quits, though.
Okay, all right. So go and see John. It's obviously a bigger store. He's got all kinds of great stuff there on Howe Avenue, plus he's not a bad guy, too. John Holloway from Holloway Travel Outfitters. Thank you, my friend.
Have you thought about which particular hotel program is right for you? Who has the best value point per point? Well, we're going to find out from an expert coming up after the news right here on The Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll
leaving on the jet plane. 2-hour delay getting out of Sacramento a week ago Friday to make it to Vegas.
Poop happens.
Yeah, it did. I was really surprised. But here again, we've talked about this. Better chance of being on time if you leave earlier in the day.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, we didn't have to deal with a connection, or we would have missed that.
Yeah.
We are the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano. Mark Hoffman to my left.
Did you lose power this morning?
I did.
I was in I live out in kind of rancho-ish.
You're kind of there. In fact, if you go to... you know, if you go online, and of course you couldn't go online because power's out, so you have to use your smart device, right? So I went on my phone, and I looked up SMUD, and it had power outages, and I opened up a website, and it had a picture of the city, and it had these little green dots, which was 1 to 49 houses.
I see.
And then the change colors, and if you got the red one, that was like 2,000 people, but there were spots all over the area, and,
a lot of trees, and with what we've had... You know, with the trees not as getting as much water, and so there was a tree down on Highway 50 this morning, which was kind of interesting. It had fallen over somebody's backyard fence out onto the highway, which is kind of...
Well, I'm sure that if you were listening to KFBK this morning, our news people were all over it, giving people updates. I'm glad it was... didn't last too awfully long.
That is absolutely true. So, we have... our next guest here is a man, Nick Ewan, who writes for... The Points Guy, which is one of the very popular blogs. And he did this wonderful five-part series, and I didn't see it until he got to like part four, but he was analyzing every major hotel frequent guest program. And then in the end, he compared them all, assigned some values to things, and tried to decide which one was the best for people who only went to a hotel a couple of times a year, people who went more frequently, people who were road warriors. And I think he did a really fascinating job of taking a look at frequent guest programs. Nick, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.
The reason, Nick, that I asked you to be a guest in the program was you have written a series, actually, of articles, fascinating articles, for those of us who are points and miles freaks, all about hotel elite programs. And the status and which one of them might be more valuable. And I thought It's really a fascinating series of articles, and you wrapped it up and came to some conclusions, and I'm kind of hoping that you'll share some of those thoughts with us today. Nick, give our listeners a little bit of your background in the miles and points game. How did you get to the point to where now you're a, quote, expert?
Well, I actually started as a road warrior, so traveling generally about 150 nights a year for business, started earning various airline miles and hotel points, and began thinking about how I can really make the most of them. And that actually led me to thepointsguy.com initially as a reader, and then eventually began commenting and eventually applied to be a contributing writer there. And I've continued just getting deeper and deeper into, you know, utilizing the best credit cards, trying to really figure out how I can maximize every dollar that I'm spending to make sure that I'm getting the most valuable miles and points, and then redeeming them for some incredible trips that my wife and I take. And we now have a daughter who just turned one, and she's managed to take a couple of international trips with us that have been really terrific. So it's a great way. I tell people it's my extreme couponing, except instead of a drawer full of cat food, we get to take trips around the world. So what's better than that?
What you did, Nick, here, just to tell our listeners, is you took five of the major hotel elite programs, frequent guest programs, Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt, Starwood, and Carlson, and you had a criteria here, which I'm going to ask you to explain in layman's terms in just a second here, and kind of tried to figure out on many of these programs have a bronze, silver, gold, or a silver, gold, platinum, or diamond, or whatever, but they have different tiers. And what you did here is very valuable, because what you pointed out is that on a different level, a different program might be more valuable to you. Can you explain to our listeners in something that they'll be able to get what your criteria was here?
Yeah, sure. So basically, my overall goal with this series was to try to put a quantitative value on the different levels of elite status within the different programs. Because people talk about, oh, well, I think Hyatt's the best. No, I think Marriott's the best. I was a Hilton Honors guy for a number of years. So what I tried to do was to take a look at the specific benefits at each level of each program and try to peg a value to that. So, for example, if you one of the benefits might be complimentary internet. So let's go ahead and we'll peg that at, say, $20. Or maybe a late checkout is worth $25. And then looking at the individual programs, I tried to add up all of those benefits spread out across a year's worth of stays, what the overall value of that elite status you would receive over the course of a calendar year. So it was trying to take what is really a very complex analysis and try to put it in purely mathematical terms to really try to come to a decision of which program has the best status, not just top status, because we know not everyone can go out and spend 50, 75, 100 nights in hotels, but if you're just spending 10 or 15, which program has the best low tier status, where you still get some nice benefits even if you're not spending weeks at a time in those particular that particular chain's properties.
And our listeners should know that Nick has gone through, and his criteria here is everything from what your points bonus is on a particular, you know, if you're on the bottom level, you might get a 15% bonus on the number of points you earn. If you're on the top level, you might get 100% bonus on the points you earn. So you've taken that into evaluation. You've taken into things like, for example, I think it's Hilton and Marriott will give you the fifth night free on an award stay, so that has a value. What complimentary access to fitness centers? You've got bottles of water on here, all kinds of you know, Wi-Fi, room upgrades, breakfast. So you've taken into account, and this is, you know, I mean, this is somewhat subjective, because to each person, some of these things might be of greater value. Some folks who don't eat, you know, I'm not a big breakfast eater in the morning, and I'm not real fond of the breakfast at Embassy Suites and Hampton and some of those places, so that doesn't have much value to me. And I don't drink alcohol. But to somebody who had three cocktails every evening and loved breakfast, then an Embassy Suites would have a much greater value to them, and therefore the Hilton program would be worth more to them. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and then just like you said, everyone values different benefits in a different fashion. So I try to think about just my own experience and trying to put not necessarily a value of what it would cost if I paid for it, because I've been to some incredible resorts where breakfast might cost 50, 60, 70 euros or something like that. So I tried to think of it not from the, you know, kind of retail price, but just thinking about kind of a baseline value of if you're a breakfast eater and you're staying at a top hotel and you're getting getting breakfast for free, what type of value would you put on that? What would you be willing to pay to get a free breakfast? So absolutely, there are definitely assumptions built into this analysis, and everyone has kind of a different way of valuing these different benefits. So anytime I do these things, I always encourage our readers to kind of adjust some of those things based on what really matters to them, what's most important to them. Some don't care about room upgrades at all, but the breakfast is a big thing. So again, anytime you do these posts, there are always some assumptions, and they should be kind of adjusted to fit the individual profile of your own travel habits.
Our guest is Nick Ewan. Nick is a writer for The Points Guy, which is one of the most popular blogs for folks who really are into the point miles and points game. But I'm going to encourage, if you're listening right now or even later on, travelguysradio.com will have a link to Nick's complete analysis. So if you are in one of these programs, you're driving around in your car and you can't look it up right now, don't worry about it. You can look it up when you get home. Travelguysradio.com will have a link to Nick's analysis of all of the programs. So let's get to it, Nick. To this, how did we've kind of explained it a little bit here. You had three different levels. So let's tell folks what on your evaluation what the winners were on, for example, on the minimal level of the lowest level of status.
Yeah, so looking at the lowest tier, there was actually a relatively clear winner. And it's important to note that when I actually did this, I came up with an overall value, a final number of over the course of the year, you would get this amount of value out of each level of each program. But then to really make sure that I was not comparing that absolute number across programs where there might be different criteria, I actually broke it down per stay and per night, because different chains have different levels of qualification required. So I wanted to make sure that I was really doing a comparison relatively. So at the low tier, I actually found that Starwood Preferred Guest was the clear winner. What was interesting, though, is one of the main reasons for this is that, and it really makes sense that Starwood Preferred Guest Gold status would be among the most rewarding, because it requires the most number of stays and nights compared to other low tiers. So Starwood Preferred Guest Gold actually requires either 10 stays or 25 nights in a calendar year, whereas some of the other ones, Hilton Honors Silver, is only 4 stays and 10 nights. So it's a little bit easier to earn that status, so it's a little bit less rewarding. But Starwood.
But again, your analysis kind of reflects, you have weighted these things, and folks can go online to travelguysradio.com. You can see this chart, and so then you can decide for yourself, well, Nick weighted this thing really heavily. I don't weight it that much, so that might change my mind a little bit, but at least you can see his analysis. So you thought Starwood was best on the low tier. What about the middle tier?
So the middle tier was actually, what's interesting is that not all the chains have a middle tier. So actually only Hilton, Marriott, and Club Carlson of the five that I looked at have that middle tier. Mm-hmm. What I actually found was that Hilton Honors Gold status was actually the clear winner for middle tier. Marriott Rewards Gold was a relatively close second, but Hilton was kind of the top program when it came to the middle tier, their gold status. And what's interesting about Hilton Honors Gold is you can actually get that automatically through a couple of different credit cards out there. So that tends to be a pretty popular one for folks that may not be able to hit the 20 stays or the night levels required to earn Hilton Honors Gold the hard way. It's actually included on a couple of different credit cards.
Now, Nick, let me ask you here, because that surprises me a little bit. It may surprise some people who are listening, because if they're Hilton Honors people and they have been for a few years, they know that that program has undergone a couple of really scathing devaluations, and that Hilton is kind of playing some games online and stuff. We won't go into that in great detail right now, but let's just say that sometimes when you log onto the Hilton website, the room you want is magically not available, but is available for more points if you want it. So they're kind of messing around a little bit there. But so that's surprising to me, that even considering those devaluations, which are part of your analysis, that you picked Hilton on the middle tier. But I respect that. On the top tier, when you get to the very top of the line, you're at the diamond, the platinum, the whatever level, who do you like there?
So personally, the way my evaluation wound up is Hyatt Gold Passport kind of came out on top. Really, this relates to some of the key benefits they have, like the suite upgrades that you get included automatically, the breakfast that's included. Many of the other chains include breakfast. I found as a Hyatt Diamond member for the past couple of years that oftentimes you can get room service as well. So that I found that Hyatt happened to come out on the top when it comes to the top tier status. So their Diamond, personally, I found has been very valuable, and I know there are a lot of other points and miles geeks, so to speak, that that are equally loyal to the program as well.
Now, Nick, do you have an overall winner?
So really, choosing an overall winner, I think, is incredibly challenging because there's so many things that go into this. One of the factors that several readers pointed out in the comments on some of these posts is that I really did not consider the geographic diversity of some of these programs. So Hyatt, for example, has only, I think, 700 or so properties around the world, whereas Marriott has 4,200, soon to have 5,500 or 5,600 once they complete their merger with the Starwood Preferred Guest Program. So to some folks, Hyatt may simply not be a feasible choice because their geographic reach is relatively limited. So really, it's virtually impossible to say this is the absolute best program for every person out there. I have held top-tier status with Hilton, with Hyatt, and with Starwood. I was a Hilton guy through and through. I've had great experiences with Starwood, and I currently hold top-tier status with Hyatt, and I'm very happy there as well. So really, I just encourage our readers on the blog as well as the listeners out there to really take a look at the different benefits that are provided, the geographic reach of each program, where you're typically looking to go. Some properties or some programs have really great coverage in specific areas, whereas others have no coverage in those same areas. So there's so many factors that go into it. I encourage you to take a look at some of this analysis and really think about what's going to mean the most for you when you're trying to pick your next hotel chain to which you should stay loyal to.
Nick writes for The Points Guy. You can find a link to that blog and to Nick's analysis of the Hotel Elite programs, which I know for some people could give a hoot, but for those of us who play this game and who have these cards in our pockets and are trying to reach the different status levels because of the benefits they afford those of us who are road warriors, why, I hope that maybe you've found something here that will help you. It is a fascinating analysis, so if you are a fan of all of this, I definitely recommend go to travelguysradio.com and read it. And you can read Nick's posts on The Points Guy. There's a link there also to that website, one of the better websites for those of us who are points and miles geeks. Nick, thank you so much for your time today. We'll check back in with you down the road and see what you're up to from the analysis standpoint. Really valuable stuff. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Mark, for having me. I really appreciate it.
We are the Travel Guys. Great interview, Mark. Mark sat down with Nick just this past week and taped that interview.
Pretty fascinating. The man wrote a whole series of articles and really did a lot of research. And some of the things, values he's assigned to things are subjective. You know, you might consider late checkout to be more important than a free cocktail mm-hmm. when you check in mm-hmm. or the concierge level or whatever. But it was interesting that someone at least did some research and kind of came up with some benchmarks to establish what the value might be. And interestingly enough, he came up with a different hotel program depending on the frequency of your stays. And then I thought, and this wasn't really part of the, I asked him this afterwards, but I said, you know, Marriott finished, you said, a close second in each level. Mm-hmm. So does that not maybe make Marriott the best program by virtue of the fact that they were number two mm-hmm. in all right. three categories? And we decided that, you know, it really comes down to your personal preferences. That's why there are different hotel brands and chains and services, because different, you know, I'm a Marriott guy, you're a Starwood guy.
There you go. And you travel a lot. I travel infrequently.
Yeah, that's, and interestingly enough, he said that Starwood was the best program for people who travel not as much, and that's been the program that you always like. So I found that to be kind of interesting. All right. Anyways, when we come back after the break, we're going to give you the five rules for traveling with your kids during the holidays. And then there's something on our website that I want to point out to you that will require a handkerchief if you're going to watch it. We'll tell you about it when we come back. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
On the boats, on the planes, they're coming to America and
Some of us are already here.
Yes, they are. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And you can follow along with the show and see cool stuff at travelguysradio.com.
Mark? I would like to call your attention to something. If you have a computer and you're sitting at, you're listening to the radio now and you haven't gone to travelguysradio.com, maybe you're somebody who never goes to websites that people tell you about on the radio, but I want you to make an exception. This has nothing to do with selling you anything or anything like that. You go to travelguysradio.com. You look down under show highlights. It's in the middle of the homepage there. And you'll see a bullet that says, after losing parents, six-year-old embarks on smile mission. It's a segment that my friend Steve Hartman did for the CBS Evening News. Steve is kind of the modern-day Charles Osgood. And it's a wonderful story about a six-year-old who, indeed, as it says, lost both of his parents and has taken an approach to the whole situation that is so amazing. It is like the best story ever, but it's especially a best holiday story. TravelGuysRadio.com. Go there and you listen. You watched it.
I did. I needed a double Kleenex. This is so cute, so endearing. This boy is so brave. Do me a favor though. Don't listen to it for at least three more minutes, or you're going to miss the end of our show. Because you will be engaged.
Travel guys, there are more than just travel things on our website. I will tell you, it's more of just a life website. We put things on there that we think might be interesting from time to time. I mentioned earlier about 5 rules for traveling with the kids during the holidays. I got this on Chris Elliott's website. You know, he has 2 or 3 little monsters of his own.
All right. 2.5 minutes, and then we can't forget our winner. All
okay,
right?
You got it.
And go.
Rules for traveling with the kids during the holidays. Timing is everything. Travel early in the day. While it may be tempting to try to travel after your kids' bedtimes with the hope they'll sleep, flights often throw children off their rhythm. Flights earlier in the day are also likely to be less affected by delays and cancellations. So whenever possible, schedule morning flights. Being prepared is a key to a successful trip with young children. That means figuring out what essential items your child needs for the trip and doubling it.
Mm-hmm.
With flight delays and cancellations, you won't want to have to find an open grocery store at midnight that sells baby formula. I think that's a terrific
great tip,
and I don't travel with children. Knowledge is power. Check the airline's website to learn about their policies for traveling with young children. If you've got a car seat or a stroller, you may need to know whether or not that can be checked, what the procedures are, whether there's a charge. All of those things are important. You've got a small child. Can the child fly in your lap as a lap child or not? Good Lord, bringing a child under 2 years old on an airplane. It's just, to me, as a fellow flyer.
You have to travel.
I understand.
Got to take the kids to see grandma.
I get it.
Holidays.
Could you please go on a different plane from me?
We'll check and find out where you are.
Communication is a two-way street. It starts at the time of booking. Make sure that you check your seat assignments. Double-check them. Airlines sometimes, computers fail, they throw out seats and stuff like that. Make sure that you've got the seating so your family is together. There is no excuse for getting to the airport later. You're a Southwest person, you check in late, and now your family's scattered all over the plane, and you're expecting all of us to make it better for you. So if you're traveling with children, this is on TravelGuysRadio.com. So when you go look at that really cute video we were talking about, 5 rules for traveling with kids during the holiday, the Sports Leisure winner this week,
Mark's looking for it.
Is
here. Okay.
Eileen Lowe. We are up to $400 on a Sports Leisure Vacations travel card for Eileen Lowe. If you traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations recently, Eileen, call our office Monday or Tuesday to claim your award. And if we don't hear from Eileen, then next week this will be worth $500 to the winner.
And you can enter.
And you can enter by going to TravelGuysRadio.com and just putting the word entry in the form and putting your name, address, and phone number below and sending to us, and you can enter the contest.
Okay, next week on the Travel Guys, should have a special guest from the musical Pippin that opens in Sacramento on the 20th,
And we're going to tell folks how they can go see TV tapings in Southern California next week on the Travel Guys.
Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.